Would you stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of the beautiful Word of God, Mark chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 24 all the way through 30. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." Verse 30, and she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Would you pray with me this morning? God, you know what we need. You know every hurt, every concern, every issue going on in this room. Lord, you know what we need in the future. Lord, you know what we needed yesterday. And God, we say thank you so much for that. And God, we just come before your throne right now as just your children. And God, we ask and pray that today that you would meet us right where we are at as we study this amazing text that might be a little bit confusing from the surface, but as we dig down into it, God, we'll see just your plan. That you are a good God that desires to meet the need of all your children. So, Father, we just ask and pray that you would bless us right now as we proclaim your word. God, speak to us. Lord, if there's someone here today that just really needs to hear your voice, maybe they're at their wits' end. God, maybe they're, God, just struggling, wondering where you're at. God, I ask and pray today that you would meet them. God, I ask and pray that if there's anybody in this room today that maybe is just doing their own thing with their life, God, that you would meet them and that you would let them know that your ways are best, that you are the bread of life, and that you are the best thing that they could ever find on this earth. God, speak to us right now. We need you. We love you. We love you, God. And everyone said, amen. Please be seated. In the last moments before his death, the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther was asked by his friend Justus Jonas. He asked him this, "Do you want to die standing firm on Christ and the doctrine you have taught?" And Martin Luther answered, "Yes." And the last words of Martin Luther were this, "We are beggars. This is true." Brennan Manning writes, "A ragamuffin knows he's only a beggar at the door of God's mercy." And what we find in this story that we're going to look at this morning is a beggar, a woman begging Jesus in desperation, a woman at her wits' end, a woman who would not rest until she had an answer from Jesus. And the best thing that you and I could realize this morning is that we too are beggars at the door of God's mercy. He owes us nothing. He is not indebted to us. He is a holy and perfect God, and we are mere beggars at the door of God's mercy. We owe him everything, and yet he is ready to give to you and I freely. We are beggars. Point number one. And the beggar will find that Jesus is available. Again, look at verses 24 to the beginning of 26. "And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet." Now the woman, this is important, was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. In other words, this woman who fell down at the feet of Jesus, she was not Jewish. Rather, she was a Gentile. But Jesus, he was Jewish. And in this day and age, Jewish people considered non-Jewish people unclean. A few weeks ago, we spoke about the ritualistic washings that Jewish people would go through after they would come from the marketplace. They did this because they might have come into contact with a Gentile or a non-Jewish person. And they believed that these ritualistic washings that they would go through based on tradition would make them clean just in case they touched a non-Jewish person or a Gentile, because Jews had nothing to do with Gentiles. They despised them. They couldn't stand them. So here is a Gentile, one despised by Jews, who is also a woman approaching Jesus, approaching a man. You see, this culture was male-dominated. Women did not approach men like this. Jewish men had no interaction with women in public, especially a Jewish teacher, a religious leader. And Jesus broke this custom as he did most of the customs of the day. Remember in John chapter 4 when Jesus asks a Samaritan woman for a drink, and she responded, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, especially Jewish men interacting with a Samaritan woman. But we see clearly in the scriptures that Jesus Christ is available for all people. He's available for the Jew who would believe and also for the Gentile who would believe, which is you and I, as he was available this day for this Gentile woman. In our home, Colson is always asking us, "Mommy, Daddy, if you could meet a famous fill-in-the-blank, who would it be? If you could meet a famous singer, who would it be? If you could meet a famous musician, who would it be? If you could meet maybe a past president, who would it be? If you could meet a sports star, who would it be? If you could meet an actor, who would it be?" And I never know what to say on these things. But Colson, he wants to meet Hugh Jackman. Anybody know who Hugh Jackman is? He was in the movie that was just came out. What's it called? The Greatest Showman. And Colson is just in love with that movie. And he wants to meet Hugh Jackman. But unfortunately, Hugh Jackman will never be available for my son, as most famous people are not available for those whom usually want to meet them. But listen, Jesus is available. The Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is available. He's much greater than Hugh Jackman. He's much greater than any famous person on the planet. And he is available for you. He's available for me. He's available for all people today. Paul says, "For in Christ Jesus, in Christ you were all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek," which means Jew nor Gentile. "There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." He's available for all people. Paul also says in Romans 10, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." Everyone. "For there is no distinction between the Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." He is available for everybody. He's available for you. He's available for me. There is no distinction. He's available for the Asian, for the Middle Eastern, for those who live in Africa, for the Native American. He is available for everyone. He's available for the adulterer, for the drunkard, for the drug addict, for that neighbor who's a jerk. He's available. He's available for that coworker whom you cannot stand. Jesus died for him, for her too. He's available for the meanest and most vile person that you could possibly think of. He's available for that person. He's available for the depressed. If you're hurting in this room today for some reason, if you're confused about something in this room today that's going on in your life, listen, he's available for you. He's there for you today. There's no distinction. Whatever situation you might find yourself in, Jesus is available for you today. He's available for all people. Next, the beggar needs Jesus more than anything. The beggar needs Jesus more than anything. Look again at verse 25. But immediately, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him. Heard of him, heard of Jesus, and came and fell down at his feet, at the feet of Jesus. Skip down and look at the end of verse 26. And it says, she begged him, Jesus, to cast the demon out of her daughter. The word beg that Mark uses here, it means to keep asking. You know, like when your kids or your grandkids just keep asking. That's kind of what's going on here. It could also be used for the word interrogate. I mean, she's asking Jesus. She's begging Jesus. I need your help. In her desperation, she came to realize that only Jesus Christ could meet her need. Only Jesus could cast the demon out of her daughter. She desperately needed Jesus. And it's no accident where Mark shares this story. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus shares about Jesus feeding thousands of people with a couple loaves of bread and a couple of little fish. And then he shares this story in Mark chapter 7. And you go over to Mark chapter 8. What's Jesus doing? He's feeding thousands of people with some bread and a couple of loaves of fish. And these stories, all of these stories point to Jesus Christ being the bread of life. These stories point to Jesus and his deity and Jesus being what people need the most. And this woman needed Jesus. It says that she fell down at his feet. She begged him to cast the demon from her daughter because only Jesus Christ could meet her need. This past October, we as a church celebrated 75 years of existence as a church, and we had just a great time of celebration. We brought in lots of past people who were involved in the church, and everyone shared about just what Lake Center Baptist Church has meant to them over the years. We also brought in a man and his wife by the names of Bobby and Debbie Lipscomb. Bobby and Debbie Lipscomb, they were interim pastors here some time back. Well, Bobby and Debbie Lipscomb played a major role in the life of my wife and I. They were our BCM directors at Northeastern State University. And really, these two people, this is a picture after that service at our home, but these two people really shaped our life. And I'm before you today really because of these two people and the investment that they made into my life as a young 19-year-old college student. Well, you know, Bobby shared that day, and many of you may not have known this, but his wife, Debbie, who is in this picture, was dealing with a brain tumor. And she had struggled with this, and she continued to struggle with this. And this past week, Debbie went to be with the Lord. She passed away. And we had her celebration service yesterday at First Baptist Church, Tahlequah. It was a 3-hour service of celebration of her life. Godly, godly woman. And they had many different speakers come up and share about different aspects of her life and the different things that she had done in the name of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you what the funeral was really all about. It was all about Jesus. And this funeral, this celebration was all about Jesus. What she did with the name of Jesus Christ. We didn't talk about her degrees. She had a doctorate. We didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about, you know, the house that she lived in. Nothing. All the people that got up there, there was, I think, 12 different men and women that come up and shared. All they talked about was what this woman did with the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, on your deathbed, and we will all face death one day, nothing will matter except that in which you did with Jesus. Your accolades won't matter. Your accomplishments won't matter. All that will matter is what you did with Jesus Christ. What you need most on this earth is Jesus. The world will tell you that you need this, or you need this to have fulfillment. You need to do this in the world's eyes. But what you need most is Jesus Christ. You need his ways. You need his spirit. You need his provision. You need his guidance. You need his example. You need Jesus Christ more than the very next breath that you will breathe. You need Jesus Christ more. You see, Jesus is needed by all people, and only Jesus can meet the needs of this woman. And listen, only Jesus Christ can meet the needs that you have this morning. Only the bread of life can satisfy you this morning. You desperately need Jesus. Listen, your marriage desperately needs Jesus. Your family desperately needs Jesus. Your attitude desperately needs Jesus. My attitude desperately needs Jesus. Your workplace desperately needs Jesus. Your future desperately needs Jesus. Your soul desperately needs Jesus. And so often, we try to do things without Jesus. And he wants us to understand that we can do nothing without him. It's what he said in John 15, 5. He says, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." So this morning, are you at your wit's end? And like this woman who came to Jesus, he wants you to come to him today and let him be your bread of life. Let him be your satisfaction. Let him be the one to meet your needs. You need him in every area of your life, and ultimately, you need him for salvation. You cannot get to heaven on your own. You need Jesus Christ. Without him, you and I can do nothing of spiritual significance, nothing that matters, nothing that will last apart from Jesus Christ. Oh, the beggar needs Jesus. The beggar needs Jesus more than anything. Next, we see in this passage of Scripture that the beggar will have their faith tested. Look again at verse 27. It says, "And he said to her, 'Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.'" What in the world is Jesus saying here? I mean, what is he saying? What's going on? In Matthew's account of this exact same story, Jesus said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So what in the world is all of this about? First of all, please understand, when Jesus calls this woman a dog, please understand what he is saying, okay? During this time, when the Jewish people wanted to put down a Gentile, whenever they wanted to curse a Gentile, you know what they would call him? They'd call him a dog. But listen, the word dog that Jesus uses here, he's not using the same word. It is a completely different word than what the Jewish people would use during this time. The word that Jesus uses here to call her a dog is simply a household pet, a gentle pet within the home. So what Jesus is really telling this woman is this: I have come to show the Jewish people first that I am the Messiah that they have been waiting on. You see, the Jews were God's chosen people, and Jesus' mission was to them first. This is all based on God's sovereignty. So what is Jesus really telling the woman here? Understand that he's not telling her no. Jesus is available for all people. Salvation is also for her. Salvation is for the Gentiles too. Romans 1, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, based on God's sovereignty, and also to the Greek," or the Gentile. So what's Jesus doing? What in the world is going on here? He's testing her faith. He's testing her faith to see if she is going to give up. He's testing her faith to see if she is going to keep pursuing him or not. In Matthew's gospel, when you read the exact same story, Jesus didn't even answer her at first. It says that Jesus spoke indirectly to her through his disciples. You see, he's testing her faith. I'm sure that you've had your faith tested at times. There have been times in my life where God has clearly tested my faith, where he has clearly been doing something in me to stretch me, to grow me, to see if I'm going to continue to pursue him or not. And whenever there were times where God was testing my faith and stretching me and growing me, I thought at the time that it was the worst moment in my life. I thought at the time that it was the worst possible thing that I could go through. But looking back on it now, I've come to realize that it was actually the best time in my life, where Jesus was growing me, where Jesus was stretching me, where he was pushing me forward. And sometimes he will test our faith. And listen this morning, just because you don't hear an answer from God the first time, it doesn't mean that you stop pursuing him. It doesn't mean that you give up. It doesn't mean that you stop praying, because sometimes Jesus will test your faith to reveal what's going on in your heart. If God tests your faith and your response is, "I'm out, God. I can do this on my own," then obviously your heart might have not been seeking him in the first place. But if God tests your faith and your response is something like this, "Jesus, I need you. Jesus, without you, I'm nothing. Jesus, would you help me? Jesus, I'll take whatever you give me, even if it's a crumb. Jesus, teach me what you want me to learn. Jesus, I beg you to do a work in me now." This leads me to the last point. The beggar will be blessed by a persistent and humble faith. Notice her response in verses 28 to 30. I love this. "But she answered him, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.' And he said to her, 'For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter.' And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone." Notice her response to Jesus. It wasn't, "Fine, I'll do my own thing." She didn't get upset with Jesus. She didn't question Jesus. She didn't storm off. She didn't leave the faith. She didn't leave the church. Her response was, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." You see, this was a persistent and humble statement of faith. What she was saying was this: "Lord Jesus, I'm not leaving till you help me. I'm going to keep seeking you, Jesus, until you come through. Jesus, I'm not going anywhere until I see your glory in my child. Jesus, I'm not giving up. Jesus, help me. Jesus, I'll take whatever you give me for my daughter, even if it's a crumb." She has a persistent faith that keeps on pursuing Jesus, a humble faith that keeps on pursuing Jesus. She doesn't stop. In Matthew's account of this same story, the response of Jesus is this: "O woman," he says, "great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." The word "great" that Jesus uses here is the Greek word megas. It means great. It means large in size. It means much. And he said to her, "Your faith in me is big. Your faith in me is great. Your faith in me is much. Go, be it done for you as your desire." Oh, her faith was great. But listen, you know what the Word of God says about faith? Even faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. This morning, I was outside on my front porch just praying about this morning, praying about this day, just praying over you, praying over our church. And in our home, Jude is our early riser. If I get up at 5 a.m., at 5:01, Jude gets up. So I always try to get up and maybe just be really quiet. Maybe Jude won't come bother me. Well, this morning was no different. I'm outside preparing for this morning, just praying over this day, and here comes Jude. And you know what Jude wanted from me this morning? He just wanted my attention. He just wanted to spend time with me. You know what I did? I said, "Jude needs me right now." So I put down my stuff, and I just spent time with Jude. Just talked with him, just hung out with Jude for a little bit. Got up and made him his customary Sunday morning waffles. But you know why I did that? I'd do that for all my children. Of course I would. And so would you as a mother, as a father, as an aunt, as an uncle, as a grandparent. You would as well if a child just wants to simply spend time with you. But you know why I did that? Because he pursued me. Because he came out there after me. That's what Jesus is saying this morning to all of us. He just wants us to pursue him. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to chase after him like this woman did. She didn't give up. That's why James says, "Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you." He's waiting on you and I to pursue him. So this morning, I don't know where you're at today in your faith, but I want to encourage you. Don't give up. He's waiting on you. He might be testing your faith. He might be growing you right now, and it might stink a little bit, but don't give up. Your answer might be right around the corner. Excuse me. He might be doing a work in you. So keep seeking him. Don't stop. Keep praying. Keep pursuing him. Keep chasing after him. Even if his answer right now is wait, or even if it feels like you're not getting an answer from him, don't stop. Keep seeking his face. In just a few moments, we're going to have a time of communion at the Lord's table. And this is something that the Word of God clearly tells us to do. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." We're going to take a little bit of juice, and a little piece of bread, and it's going to remind us today that Jesus is available for you, that he is available for all of us. He's available to all of us today for salvation, but he's also available for you in every moment of your life, in every need that you have. So this morning, we're going to stand up and we're going to worship our God. And we're going to come forward and we're going to take communion. And I'm going to ask that as you take this little piece of bread, that as you take this little cup of juice that symbolically represents the body of Jesus Christ that was given for you, I'm just going to ask that you would simply be reminded that Jesus Christ is more than enough for you. He's more than enough for your marriage. He's more than enough for every hurt that you might be facing, for every hurt that you have faced in the past, for anything that you might be facing in the future. Oh, he is more than enough for you. But the Word of God also tells us a couple things that we need to be reminded of before we take of the Lord's Supper. Number one, it tells us very clearly that communion is for believers. That it's for those that have confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and that they are chasing after him, that they are following after him. But at the same time, it tells us this, that we should not partake of the cup and of the bread with unconfessed sin in our life. So in just a few moments, we're going to have a time of prayer, and we're going to give you the opportunity to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm going to give you the opportunity as well to confess any sin that may be going on in your life, and then you'll have the chance to come forward and just to be reminded and to say, thank you, Jesus Christ, for your body that was given for me. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your blood that was shed for me. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for being enough for my salvation. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for being enough for me for anything that I might face in the future. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for always being the bread of life for me. Would you bow your heads? Is Jesus Christ your bread of life today? Have you confessed that he is Lord? Have you asked Jesus Christ and called on him, as we just read in the scriptures a few moments ago, to save you, to be your salvation? If you have not, you can do that right now in this place. The Bible clearly says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You need Jesus Christ more than anything, more than the next breath you'll breathe. You need Jesus Christ. You call on him right now to save you. There's no magical prayer you pray. It's simply a recognition that you cannot do life on your own, that you cannot have your sin forgiven on your own, that you need Jesus Christ. You may not know all the answers right now, but you can humbly pursue him as this woman did and say, Jesus, I don't know all the answers, but I confess that you are Lord and I give my life to you right now. You can do that right from your seat. And if you do that today for the very first time, when we stand in worship in a few moments, you can come forward and you can partake of this symbolic act that reminds us of the shed blood of Jesus, of the body broken for you and for me. You can thank Jesus this morning that he is enough for you. This morning, do you have unconfessed sin? Is the Spirit of God stretching your faith today? Maybe he's talking to you about something that just simply isn't right. You need to confess. You do that right now. Ask him to search your heart. He's a gentle shepherd waiting on you just to come back to him. He doesn't have a big hammer there. He's a gentle shepherd just saying, come back to me. Like this woman came to him, you can come to him today. Confess your sin. And then you come forward in a moment as well and thank him for his blood that was shed for your sin. Thank him for the body that was broken for you. Jesus, we thank you for being available for us. Thank you for showing us that we need you more than anything. God, thank you for testing our faith at times and for growing us and making us more like you and conforming us to the image of Jesus. God, help us just to seek after you like this woman did. She did not give up. She didn't stop. She kept seeking after you. And God, help us to be a people who would do that. And we just today, God, we say thank you for your blood, the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that was shed for us, the body that was broken for us, the body of Jesus Christ that is more than enough for us for salvation, for satisfaction, for fulfillment, for life, for joy, for peace. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ that is more than enough. So God, today we partake of the cup, the symbolic act that you told us in the church to do, to remember your body shed for us, to remember your blood that was given for us. So Father, as we partake of this cup in just a few moments, of this bread in just a few moments, help us just as a people just to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. May we never get over what you've done for us. May we never get over Jesus, the bread of life. We love you, God. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. In just a few moments, we're going to stand. We're going to worship our God. We're going to sing back to our God. If you need prayer this morning, there's going to be some deacons up here who would love to pray over you. You may not have details. That's okay. But they would love to pray over you. Maybe before you take of communion. You just need a time of prayer. Maybe you want to get up here and fall on your knees and just thank Jesus Christ for being the bread of life. But we're going to stand. We're going to worship our God. We're going to sing to our God. You need prayer, you receive that today. If you want to join our church and be a part of what God is doing, come tell me that. We'll start that process. You want to get baptized in the future to show the world that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Come tell me. We'll start that process. But we're going to stand and we're going to worship. If you're out there today and you're sitting there by yourself, those of you in this room, look around. Maybe bring them with you to take communion. Maybe come forward with your family. But don't let anybody come up here alone. Our deacons are going to be up here to serve you. You can take it off alone and you can go take it in the corner by yourself. You can take it right where you're at. You can go back to your seat and take it. But let this be a time of worship back to our Lord Jesus Christ. As we stand, as we respond, as we partake of the cup, man, you can come forward and serve our people.